together. We've turned out to be rather garden-y today, starting with, if you've ever wanted to turn your dream garden into a reality, we've got the guest for you. Joe Francis is founder and creative director of Gardens for Good, based in Cumnor, and he joins us now. Afternoon, Joe.
Hello, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Now, interesting name, Gardens for Good. Why the name? What does that mean?
Well, Gardens for Good, it works on many levels. It's good for our clients, good for their living space, good for their family and friends who visit. Obviously good for the wildlife, the environment, but also through working with Gardens for Good, it extends a lot more beyond that, as we're fortunate enough to be lifetime partners of an organisation called B1G1, Business for Good. So every time we do business with a client, we're able to contribute to various schemes. There's the sort of wildlife schemes, environmental schemes, humanitarian ones. So just to give you a few examples, planting trees, protecting the rainforest, creating environments for endangered species, seeds, nutrition, and drinking water for villages that don't have access to drinking water. So, yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Because we think that the world is ever more capitalist and ever more cutthroat. And, you know, unless you're competing to within a millimetre of your profit margins, you're going to go under. But there is room for ethical businesses to help and not lose out then.
Oh, 100%. And that's part of the beauty of the B1G1 guys that we work with, is that it's so easy and so achievable that really any business could build that into part of their sort of daily dealings.
But there must be a cost to it, and other gardening businesses will not be meeting that cost because they're not doing it, surely.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, even sort of down to the very simple providing a day's drinking water is a matter of pence. You know, it really doesn't cost a huge amount. And the beauty is that 100% of what we donate goes to these organisations, and rather than sort of being filtered through into marketing strategies and sort of promotion and stuff, it's all 100%. Everything goes to the organisation that does the work. So
very good.
It's great.
Joe, what's your story? How have you ended up running your own gardening business?
Well, interesting actually. I studied product design at university, and then when I left, I struggled to get a job in that, so I went into a few kind of odd jobs, doing a bit of gardening and property maintenance and bits and pieces. And then a friend happened to be working for a very good garden landscaping company up in Northampton, where I was living, and they were doing a Gardeners World Live exhibition. They needed an extra pair of hands, so I went to help them out. We ended up winning a silver medal, so they offered me a job. And from there, I only spent about 2.5 years there, actually, but learned a huge amount in terms of landscaping, building gardens, and also turned my product design skills to actually the designing the gardens as well.
Right.
So did a couple of Chelsea gardens, got a silver and then a gold. So that was pretty special.
Well, that's pretty remarkable for such a newcomer, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, it was just great to be involved with it. And I mean, off the back of that, that was with the company I was working with. So I had the support group of
around me. So did you design them, or were you just, you know, looking at plants about, really?
I built them because I was more of a landscaper in those days. And even after I started my business, I was kind of proud to be a landscaper, and well, you know, I'll design the gardens, but that's my thing is landscaping. But over the course of the years of starting the business, I realized that my strengths were best really focused on the design, and so I kind of almost reluctantly grew to call myself a designer, and now proudly very proudly to call myself a designer, because particularly as we're getting the opportunity to do a show garden this year, it's
what can you tell us about that at this point? Are you allowed to
it's all kind of everything's going ahead, so I can tell you as much as you like, really. It's it's Hampton Court, RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, which starts we start the build up on the 19th of June. And then the show actually starts on the 4th of July. And our garden, it's very much a message of sort of inspiration and hope. It's kind of, there's a slight shock factor in it, because it's essentially a big teardrop-shaped garden rubble and kind of rubbish and all the kind of the mad things that we humans do. But it's there's a crazy paving pathway that sweeps around the garden, and that starts to break apart into a swathe of beautiful planting. And this swathe of planting climbs up a mound in the middle, and there at the top of this mound is a large block of ice, which has an iris frozen in the middle of it.
Right. So is that real ice?
It is real ice. It's a real block of ice. And that's obviously
so there's an interesting logistical puzzle to keep that frozen.
Absolutely. And it's the burning question, no pun intended, of how long it's going to take to melt. And none of us know, really. We're kind of going out on
depending on when you view this garden, you'll get a different garden then.
Well, that's the idea, is it's going to melt over the course of the show, and because obviously that's what melt ice does, and that's what's happening in the planet at the moment. It's kind of can be a cause of quite a lot of concern for many of us, and we obviously wanted to really bring that message to people, but also show that we empower people to show we can actually, each one of us can make a difference through the actions that we take and through the medium of gardening, planting and trees and creating habitats for wildlife. All these things can contribute to make a real difference in the world. And it's
I think the fact that you obviously depend on the weather, won't it, and all sorts of things. You can't control your own garden, you can't control how quickly the ice melts, is just the perfect sort of metaphor, isn't it?
Exactly right.
And that's, for mankind's problems. That's very clever thinking. Gosh.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you.
No, so I'm dead impressed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, as I say, it's there's going to be a shock factor, but also one of inspiration and sort of hope in there as well, so that we can actually, each one of us, take action, which can make a difference. So
Going back to your story then, was it quite a difficult moment to leap into doing your own thing when you'd been in this business?
It was, yeah. I mean, particularly because I hadn't had a huge amount of time to gain my experience. It was kind of quite a fast-paced career in landscaping, I'd say about 2.5 years. I was very fortunate that my old boss was, he was very supportive of the fact that I had aspirations to do my own thing. So he let me go 2 days a week, and I spent the other 3 days building the business.
Oh, a nice transitional period.
It just eased it a little bit. I set off under the name of Outer Space, actually. That was the name of the business.
That's a good name. That would work as
Thank
well.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought that's really original and great. And it was. I loved it at the time. And then after a little bit of time, I realised that there was quite a few outer spaces of that kind of nature, landscaping firms with a similar sort of name, which wasn't a problem. But part of the thing I realised over the course of the years was the image of the business didn't convey the sort of philosophy that we live and work by. Which really is trying to make a positive difference, helping people and the planet and the environment, really. And so hence this recent change to Gardens for Good is about communicating how we work and hopefully inspiring other people who share a similar view to come and work with us and create some amazing things.
Well, sit back and have a rest for a moment, and we'll play a song, and then we'll come and do part two. Joe France is our guest at the moment, founder and creative director of Gardens for Good. More from him on the other side of Womack. BBC Radio Oxford, Bill Buckley, and there go Womack and Womack and Teardrops. Joe Francis is our guest at the moment. Joe has founded and remains the creative director of Gardens for Good, based in Cumnor. What's the typical client, Joe, and what's the typical thing they want doing?
It ranges a lot, really, and depends very much on the property, but we essentially specialise in the design of complete garden transformations.
Right.
But we cover all sorts of projects, from sort of small town courtyard gardens up to large country estates, and so those are all domestic clients, and it's really just for people who want to create something amazing in their garden, because it's such a fantastic space and usually the largest room in any home, and it's one you can get most creative with. So I think more and more these days people are realising the value of transforming their gardens and what an asset that can be to their homes and their lifestyles.
And you say that those are all domestic clients. Does that suggest that you have non-domestic ones as well?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we get involved quite a lot in sensory gardens, community gardens, various wildlife gardens, school gardens, all sorts really. So and that's very special because you're creating spaces where large groups of people can come together, and just last weekend we had the opening of the sensory garden for the main park up in Northampton, which was very exciting. So a couple of years in the making, finally come together and had a fantastic result for that. So it's
so how big a business are you now? How many people have you got working there, for example?
Well, it's just my wife and I, actually.
And how many gardens are you doing then?
We usually have about 10 to 12 on the drawing board at any time.
Good gracious.
Yeah, it's quite a lot, but we're constantly refining the sort of efficiency of our process and making sure we can manage that capacity and keep a very high level of service that our clients rightly expect. But I mean, I think, yeah, we love it, and that's part of what really comes.
And once your design is completed, how much are you, if you are at all, involved then in making it a reality? I mean, I can't believe you're actually, you know, laying the lawn down or putting the plants in, are you?
Well, up until about 3 years ago, I was doing all of that. So I was building all the gardens. We had several projects on the go, and it was great, but it was very hard work. And my wife and I decided, after having a couple of children, do we take on teams of guys and have kind of create a big business of lots of landscaping teams, or do we streamline it, specialize in design, and have a bit more of a lifestyle, you know, so we can get the flexibility of time with the family? So we went down the design route, and I'll be honest, I thought switching to design was going to be happily ever after and end of all my problems, because it's the design process is the fun part. But with that change in orientation of the business, it brought along lots of new challenges. But we've worked very hard to use those and refine our service, right, so that now specialising in design is...
But you site visit, presumably, do you?
Oh, absolutely. So, sorry, yeah, going back to your question. So we'll arrange contractors, whether the client's got someone they want to use, or if they need us to find someone, we can find the right contractor, who we vet very carefully, get testimonials, find out all the sort of paperwork, insurances, and et cetera, make sure that they're good for the job. And then we can oversee the project. We offer a project management service, but because we vet the contractors so carefully, they're usually good enough to manage themselves on site. But so yeah, we sort of keep an eye in and make sure the project's moving smoothly, site visits if necessary, and then a sort of a sign off, so we come at the end of the project to make sure it's all gone well. But
And going back to the domestic gardens, you said they can range everything from a little courtyard garden in town to, you know, several acres. Do the same basic principles apply whatever the size and location, or do you have an entirely different starting point from a little town garden to a big expansive garden?
Well, no, essentially it's the same process. So we'll have the initial consultation, we'll meet the client, discuss what they're looking to achieve. The first stage is to carry out a site survey, so get a very accurate digital survey of the garden, and then from there we can use all the input from the client to start developing the concept ideas. And we refine those as many times as necessary. We offer 100% delighted guarantee, so we refine the designs as many times as necessary to make sure the client is absolutely delighted, basically. We create full master plans. We can do 3D animations, virtual walk rounds, lighting plans, planting plans, the full lot.
Put it another way then, what are the main mistakes that people make, either with little town gardens or big expansive country gardens?
So usually, usually not getting a plan in place, and people probably think I'm going to say that because I'm a designer, but even if you do it yourself, I would advise drawing something out on paper so you can see the full picture of where the project is going to go. The biggest mistake is when people think, well, I'll put a little bit of patio in here, and then after that's done, they might put a bit of pond over there, and a bit of planting here. And if it's done like that, it's very fragmented, and it shows through in the final result. Whereas if you take the time to actually plan the garden out properly, you know, go through the process of refining the geometry and the layout and getting the materials right, it makes the final composition is just, you know, it can be absolutely stunning. And that's rarely achievable if you just make it up as you go along.
And are people's requirements of a garden or desires for a garden pretty similar? Or could you have two next door neighbours with their same gardens and you would have to do an entirely different job for number 14 to number 16?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the gardens are as unique as the individuals themselves. So everyone's going to have slightly different requirements and preferences, likes, dislikes, what have you. So yeah, exactly right. You could have two people living next door to each other who are very similar but would probably have very different gardens. And of course the fundamentals, in terms of we'd like a patio area for sitting out, perhaps a bit of lawn area, you know, those things are fairly common, but it's what you do with those fundamentals which really counts, and which leads to such interesting variety.
Yeah, I mean, well, finally then, people's likes and dislikes brings us on to fashion, and gardens are subject to the vagaries of fashion as much as anything else, aren't they? So what's big at the moment, and what do you predict is going to become so?
Well, I mean, I don't follow the trends so much, because it's more about what each specific client wants. It's their individual taste. So we very much take that rather than say enforcing a current trend onto a client. So what is it you want? You know, how does your garden look? How does it operate? What would you like to get from it? And also we can get a lot from just meeting with them, talking with them, seeing what the inside style of their house is like, for example, and also the style of the property. So if it's a period property, chances are it's going to want something sort of a sort of period style garden. But also within that, we can combine their preferences. So we do a lot of kind of combinations of traditional with slightly more modern vibe to them. And as I say, it's just down to the client. And that's what I love, is that kind of that organic process of working very closely with people to create something fantastic. Yeah.
Must leave it there, but great to talk to you, Joe. Very Thank illuminating you, Bill. Conversation. Lovely having you on the show.
Thank you.
Good. Joe Francis, from Gardens for Good, based in Cumnor in Oxford. We've got more gardening, in a sense, coming up in a little while. International